All right, good morning. I have to confess a sin before I start. You know, some sins are hidden, some sins are public. Mine's public, so I'm just going to have to confess this before we go on so that I can actually preach this sermon. Does anybody know what this should actually say instead of love who specifically? Whom. Love whom specifically. That's right. And you think to yourself, yeah, but who cares? I was an English major. I care. My sister was an English major. I called her and said, did I get this wrong? Oh, yeah, you got that wrong. Please forgive me. All right, I think God forgives me. Let's pray. Oh, God, thanks that we're in your presence and that you speak your word to us and change us through your word. God, you know that we are entirely dependent on your spirit. So we pray that your spirit would enliven this word in our hearts and change us as you know we need to be changed so that we can be more in your image. And Father, pray that all that is your word would be acted on and all that is not your word would blow away like chaff. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. First John. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have koinonia with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I think I'm going to need to get more centered. Okay. I struggle with language. You've already heard me repent of that. I don't particularly mean that I struggle with using bad language. That may also be true. That's another sermon. But what I mean is I try to convey my meaning in these clumsy packages called words. And often words can't come close to communicating what it is that we're trying to convey. After Lydia, my first daughter, was born, I went and started making phone calls to tell my parents and to tell Kim's parents that we now had a child. And I was dumbstruck, which is unusual for me. Because how do you convey that your world is completely changed in an instant? So sometimes we try to use word pictures. The first week she was home, I was lying on our couch with Lydia sleeping on my chest. And for the first time in my life, I felt absolute peace, a complete contentment. I could have just done that for the rest of eternity. Language falls short. Andrew tell stories. I speak with my hands. We try to inject, to impregnate richer meaning into words so that the ideas behind the words come more clearly, more true. Now, sometimes with scripture, we do this by returning to the original language and untranslating. We untranslate the Greek or the Hebrew. So, for example, there's a Greek word for love. That's agape, right? And you guys have probably heard this before, right? Because love is a powerful word in our language, but it shows up in lots of movies and commercials and magazines, and what it really is love, right? We all know about love. That's when they get married and they're happily ever after, right? No apparent effort, just a nice feeling that carries them away on pink fluffy clouds forever. That doesn't happen to be, yeah, and I have newlyweds here who know that feeling. If you laugh, I'm going to call you out. You know that. That doesn't happen to be what Scripture talks about with love. And so we go back to agape because for God so loved the world is not for God so felt gushy toward the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? It's for God, agape the world in this manner. He loved unconditionally and with action his creation, this planet, and all the people who live here. The Father gave his beloved, perfect Son over to death. But God, the Trinity, who is three in one, also actually gave himself, right? He gave himself and sacrificed himself and let the agape between Father and Son be severed so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be part of that love, so that we could be part of that agape. We untranslate to restore the meaning, to try to understand really what this is talking about. God has called us as a church to worship, connect, and serve. And we've worked hard in here to understand worship, right? We worship God through music and through singing, but we don't equate worship with singing, do we? We know that worship is bigger than that. Through praying, through thanking God, through beseeching him, through dancing, through giving, through sharing. We eat bread and juice together as a sacrament of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood, and that's worship. We worship God corporately as a community of forgiven sinners, restored prodigals. And every act, we seek to recognize God's glory and to emphasize God's glory. And that is worship. We seek together to make our lives worship to God. So our focused area of growth now is connect. And connect is a great word, and we also must develop a deeper meaning for what we mean by connect. We like that it's an action verb, right? Community is a good word. That's a scriptural word. It's a powerful word. But you don't community together, right? Let's go community, right? The English major says that's bad. We don't say it that way, okay? But we connect together. It's an action verb. We connect to have community. We become community through connecting. So like with love and worship, our common understanding of connect just needs to be enriched and deepened. Now, if that's about as much linguistics as you can stand this morning, that's fine. We'll cut to the chase. God wants us to have koinonia together. So we all know how to do that, right? We can go eat now? All right, we'll talk about it a little longer. What does koinonia mean? Now, here are some New Testament passages that use koinonia. He's so good, he's up already. Thanks, Lee. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the koinonia, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. God is faithful. By him you were called into the koinonia of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a koinonia in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a koinonia in the body of Christ? Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what koinonia is there between light and darkness? And when James and Cephas, Peter and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, Paul, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of koinonia, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they go to the circumcised, the Jews. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the koinonia of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Do not neglect the doing of good and koinonia, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have koinonia with us. And truly our koinonia is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. They are going to be an exhausted group back there. There's about 60 times this is coming up. So now that you've got that, throw out, what English words would we use to translate koinonia? Sacrifice? Fellowship? Big one? More? Communication, love in action, right? You kind of see why, wow, one word doesn't really grab it, does it? It's an amazingly rich word. It's powerful. This is the vision that we have. This is what God's called us to. Columbia Grove's vision for Connect is that we grow in koinonia. The New Testament also has another powerful word. This is going to give them a little bit of a rest. Allelon, which is a reciprocal pronoun. It means one another. Now, you could think of this as the nuts and bolts of how we grow in koinonia. Koinonia is this big, powerful idea. Here's the practical stuff. Here's rubber meets the road right here. Ready? Live in harmony with one another. Admonish one another. Have the same care for one another. Be servants of one another. Bear one another's burdens. Comfort one another. Build one another up. Be at peace with one another. Do good to one another. Bear with one another lovingly. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be subject to one another. That's hard. Forgive one another. That's harder. Confess your sins to one another. Be hospitable to one another. John's letter that we studied the last 6 weeks with one another fairly summarizes what God calls us to. Here it is. If we say that we have koinonia with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then we have koinonia with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Having koinonia with God intertwines with having koinonia with one another. We cannot walk in darkness and have koinonia with God, right? You understand that? We must walk in the light by confessing our sins and our language errors and seeking God's truth and presence in every part of our lives. So listen to this. If we walk in the light, we have koinonia with God, right? If we don't walk in the light, we don't have koinonia with God. If we walk in the light, we have koinonia with, it doesn't say God. John doesn't say God. He says, if we walk in the light, we have koinonia with one another. Do you see how those are intertwined? And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, which means we have koinonia with God at the same time. John is joining together koinonia with God and koinonia with one another. We have to be together to have koinonia with God. We cannot have koinonia with God unless we're having koinonia with one another. And koinonia with God leads us together. A lone Christian is a mythical beast. It's like a unicorn or a centaur or a punctual Mike Rumley Wells. You can imagine one, but they don't exist in nature. We are joined together through Jesus Christ. Scripture's metaphors for Christian community are family and body. Blood and genes join family together. Body is even closer. The emotional and spiritual connection between us, right? You can't get closer than body, right? Not team and coach, not boss and workers. Your own body joined together. Try to be separate from yourself today. It won't work. He is so good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit, Christ's Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. That's us. If the foot would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Last week, Andrew mentioned that there were two households that did not have enough food. And then suddenly, there were truckloads of food going to those houses. That is the body of Christ. Part of my message this morning is not, guys, we need to do this. It's, look what we're doing. We are being the body of Christ together. This is as much a celebration as it is an exhortation. We are living what God has called us to. When God tells us connect, he means we are a body together, and we must join together and work together. We function as a body. Three of the members of the body, four of the members of the body sitting here this morning, maybe five, sorry, I'll get done with my math soon. At least five of us here this morning are leaving for Nicaragua tomorrow at midnight, okay? A whole bunch more of the body have been part of that mission and better be praying and continue to be part of that mission and will be part of that mission when we come home. This is the body functioning together. This is connect for us. We share life together. We develop koinonia with one another as we worship and grow in koinonia with God and vice versa. By worshiping and having fellowship together, we grow in fellowship with one another. So here's a rhetorical question. Can we have koinonia together once a week on Sunday morning? Is that enough? Guess what Mike wants to say? No. No, I'm sorry. From 10 to 11:45 once a week is not going to be koinonia in the biblical sense. We cannot bear one another's burdens and be servants of one another and comfort and build one another up and admonish one another and confess our sins to one another and forgive one another and be hospitable to one another in 105 minutes. Okay? That's rushing it. Do you see that? Sometimes it's a Saturday morning and some of us go and get to patch a roof. That was one of the best times I've had in a really long time. You know, sometimes it's a dine with nine, sometimes it's a ladies' luncheon. God offers us more. He longs for more for us. Connecting is our whole lives. It's all the way back there, sorry. You don't want to see a preacher with cotton mouth, believe me. So, how do we do it? I'll tell you this for sure. It's easier to talk about than it is to do. But of course, it's meaningless unless we do. My first pastor out of college taught us that love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love is spelled time, period. My present pastor taught us you don't love where your heart is sent, you love where your heart is spent. And that comes right back to time, doesn't it? We use the phrase sharing life together or doing life together because they intimate our interconnectedness. We don't just visit once in a while. If we don't have time for one another, we cannot love one another. It is as simple as that. Now, many of you already feel overbooked and overscheduled and overworked, and me too, okay? What I'm trying to tell you this morning is not, here's a bunch of more stuff that you got to do. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that Columbia Grove is really committing to, if what we're doing in church is not worship, connect, or serve, then we shouldn't ought to be doing that, right? We want to streamline so that all we're doing is pointing to these things. Everything Columbia Grove does should be leading us into worship, connect, and serve. And we're getting there. Because we could load up our lives with tons of really good-looking, godly stuff that lead us away from God. And that is a real danger for the modern busy Christian. Tom Sine wrote a book called Why Settle for More and Miss the Best? That's our question. If we don't have time for our family and our brothers and sisters in Christ, then honestly, we have to make different choices. Put another way, what happens if we don't take time to take care of our bodies? They break down, right? And we don't only take care of our bodies when they're on the verge of breaking down, do we? That's daily. That's constant. That's how it is for the body of Christ. Spending time together is a step toward having koinonia or sharing life. But of course, we can spend tons of time together and do nothing and not get to know one another, right? We can come to church on Sunday and interact superficially. Hi, how are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. Right? And we can get on out of here before anybody sees, can't we? That's what Andrew's talking about. And then we sing Broken, and then on the way out, fine, how are you? Fine. Somewhere along the line, I didn't mean it. Was it the song or was it the greeting? We know in our hearts, and these passages make very clear to us, that having koinonia means being honest and open and broken in front of one another. Being vulnerable, there it is, about what's really going on in our lives and sharing our lives, the hard parts as well as the fun parts, the struggles and the sins as well as the things to rejoice in, and trusting one another that they will be trustworthy to carry that with us, not to solve it, not to gossip about us, but to walk with us and know us. And that's how community happens. That's how koinonia forms. If nobody knows your needs, nobody can help meet your needs. And often that's our goal. But that blocks us from koinonia. The only way that people can share with you what you need is if they know what you need. I did not intend to do this, but this morning, I am wearing pants and boots that were given to me by someone else. Because he knows that, you know, our family lives on a somewhat limited budget, and he shares with me. And I just, when I walked in the bathroom this morning to make sure my microphone was on, I was like, oh, look, I'm wearing someone else's clothes. And I won't call him out, though I'm tempted to. But that's how it works. These are the elements God gives us to join together. Scripture, breaking bread together, prayer, serving, laughing and having fun. If we are a body, those are our nutrients. Those are the things that make our body healthy. Columbia Grove's young adult community, we call it Body of Christ, because that seems biblical to us. We had a garden this year. None of us were great gardeners, but we had a garden. So on Sundays, we would get together, and we would go hit the garden, and we would laugh, and we would weed, and we would harvest, and then we would come back and wash up and pray together and have communion and talk about Scripture in our lives. And we grew in fellowship. We grew in koinonia. We got to know one another through loving and serving and giving that food away to serve Wenatchee. Now, it's not like every Sunday at 6 o'clock we felt like bursting with energy. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get to the garden. Some weeks we would talk about all the reasons we had to not go this week. And then we would go to the garden. Jesus asked us to remember him when we break bread and share the cup together, because meals together are sacred. Even a gathering at Arby's can become holy ground. Please ask Andrew or Mackenzie about how Arby's became holy ground for them. We are blessed enough in this room to eat several times a day, and we can share that together. Praying, Bible study, serving, having fun, these can all take wildly different forms, and they should. A healthy community should have this looking in all kinds of wacky ways. Any way it works. I am not here to give you cookie cutters. I am here to say, these are the nutrients for our body. Find the ways that you connect with one another through these things. If we are connecting over the word and over worship, then other things become koinonia too. Then the kid dates become koinonia. Some of my best koinonia has happened through hiking with my friends. Some of my best Bible studies have happened where there's no Bible within reach. Once we are centered on the word, then we are joined together in the word. And all the time that we spend together can become koinonia for us. The blood and guts of koinonia is that we are community in Christ. So when I say blood and guts, I'm actually sort of being irreverent. But really, the body and blood of Jesus Christ is our koinonia. We have fellowship with one another because we have fellowship in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're just a club. And otherwise, we will break apart when things get difficult. Because honestly, Christian community is a bunch of messy, jerky, sinful people, and yeah, I'm talking about us, gathered together by God's Spirit, who forgive and are redeemed by Jesus. So can you kind of guess where I'm going with this part? We're going to have conflict. We probably already have. We're going to fight and have conflict because we're still sinful, but we are in Jesus Christ. And our relationship is through God's Spirit, so we will work through that. God calls us to lose our lives, right? Look around. These are the people God calls us to lose our lives to. This is how it works. Koinonia with God, obeying God, lose your life, is koinonia with one another. Laying our lives down for the people around us. That's how it works. Two of my best friends in the world, Trey and Anna, have been friends of mine for 20 years. They are two of the people who I have had the worst conflict with. And I don't just mean like we had one disagreement. We had a long stretch. I had a long stretch with each of them of intense conflict. Because we weren't doing the casual, I see you once a week and we all look glossy. We were trying to share in ministry together and be partners, and it was really, really hard, and we clashed really bad. And it took a long time. It wasn't just, oh God, let me forgive them. It was over and over for months, praying and asking God to change our hearts. And now, those are two of the people I trust most in the world. Those are two people who I would tell absolutely anything and who I would call at 3 in the morning. And the reason for that is we have worked through that conflict, and there is no illusion that any of us have it all together. And there is certain confidence that if I walk through the fire, they will be there with me. And if I fall down in the pit, they will help me pull me out. I'm going to give you one more example of that. Before I came to Columbia Grove, I had a good friend here, and we had an enjoyable friendship, and I thought we'd gotten to know each other fairly well, and we discussed whether our family would come to Columbia Grove, and we actually talked about that might affect and be difficult for our friendship. And then Kim and I became members, and funny thing, that friendship started to get strained. Now, I want to tell you honestly that most of the issues were on my end. Without going too deep into my self-diagnosis here, you got some identity stuff, you got some self-confidence issues, you throw in a touch of pride and ego, and voila! You have a good recipe for friction, right? But it wasn't just personal stuff either. Some of the conflict was over how we should do things. Because Andrew is an incredibly gifted, very structurally oriented, very organized, very punctual person. And I am not. I live eyeball to eyeball. I am very spontaneous. I am very person to person. And those can all be both strengths and weaknesses. Though Andrew and I agreed theologically down the line, values down the line, our approach to things was very different, and it caused a lot of tension. And it pushed my buttons. And being the faithful man that I am, I said, God, could we leave, please? I said that more than once. And Andrew and I repeatedly would sit down or take a walk by the river and hash through the things that we were having trouble understanding about each other and work through them and ask forgiveness and give forgiveness. And every time I thought, okay, now we've got it, and then more would come up. But I tell you the truth. My friendship and partnership with Andrew is so much deeper and more profound than it could have been if things had just gone hunky-dory like I hope they would. We would never have gotten here. The truth is, we grow in koinonia through conflict and through forgiveness. And if we avoid that, we avoid deep relationships. God, in his mercy, said, no, Mike, you cannot go. And now I see that that was God's mercy. Now I see that that was God's love for me, to not let me deny myself a true, deep friendship with a brother in Christ that is great for both of us and that I would have bailed on if I didn't want to go through the conflict. And yes, Andrew gave me permission to do that. Now, my purpose in giving you this example is both to encourage you, because I know this is going on with other people in the church, and to prepare you. If, as a church, we are going to grow in koinonia, we are going to face more conflict with one another. And God is faithful, and he builds our relationships through adversity. That's how it works. Worship, koinonia, serve. I'm excited about our vision. I'm also a little bit nervous because God's on the loose and he does wild, crazy things, sometimes not what we want him to, always for our best. We love one another specifically, and we love God by loving one another specifically. So we can't really end without a specific thing. It would be kind of a bummer to say, okay, so get out there and in general love one another, right? But as I was praying about this,